This morning I'd like to continue on our series of talks about what we do as a church. We're talking about saving, serving, and strengthening, and I've been talking mostly about the serving part right now, about giving. That's what we talked about last week. I'll talk about it again. You won't feel a tentacle going, reaching into your pocket toward your wallet, so don't worry. We talk about giving with thankfulness and joy and love last time, and I'd like to continue along those lines, but I don't want to scare you with the bulletin title either. It says sacrificial giving. But the two things, there's a couple of things points I'd like to make. One is that all giving requires a certain amount of sacrifice. And the other is that in giving, the sacrifice is worth it. Three young kids, really young kids, are with the help of their mom, make a birthday cake for their dad. You know, they mix the mix and they get it in the oven and let the sheet cake cool off, and then they cut it and lather on the icing and stack it and decorate it. And they get the candles and they put it on the cake, and they're all excited because dad's getting home. And it's an act of love for dad, right? That's giving a cake to dad. And dad comes home, and one of the little ones come up, "We made you a birthday cake!" And he says, "Oh, right, I can't wait to see that." And the other little one said, "Yeah, and it tasted real good, too!" And there on the table is this platter with cake crumbs and half a slice of cake left, and it's the bottom half that doesn't have any icing. Some gift, right? A gift requires a sacrifice. And part of the sacrifice for the kids would have been waiting until dad got home and actually to give the gift and then let dad share some of his cake. And then they can get to eat part of the cake. They don't get to eat all of the cake, do they? There's still a sacrifice involved, even in that simple illustration. And that's one of the things I want to talk about. Giving involves a sacrifice. But at the other hand, giving also is worth it. It's like the old MasterCard advertisement, right? You said, cake mix, 99 cents. Cake frosting, $2.86. Candles, 56 cents. A happy dad, priceless. I mean, isn't that the way it works when we give to God? Isn't that the way it works when we give to each other? And isn't that why we give to each other? And why we give to people? Because it puts a smile on God's face and we know it's right and we know it's worth it? Of course. But yet it involves sacrifice. It involves some self-control. It involves choosing to do one thing rather than another. It involves putting our money one place rather than another place. And so there's a sacrifice that is involved in our giving, and it's good for us, and it's right, and it's what God wants. All the way back in Malachi's day, in the 500 BC era, Malachi the prophet was speaking to Israel, and this is what he had to say about Israel's giving. "A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where's my honor? If I am a master, where's my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You're presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. When you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts?" What were they doing? They were giving God the crumbs, weren't they? they were giving God the crumbs. They were supposed to be sacrificing to God, taking of their flocks and their herds and offering regular sacrifices. And instead, what were they doing? They were offering the animals that they were going to throw away. They weren't going to use anymore. It was just like eating the birthday cake and then giving the half piece to your father afterwards. And unfortunately, that's what the people back in Malachi's day were doing. But sometimes that's what we end up doing too, isn't it? We end up giving God the crumbs of our life, don't we? When we decide what we're going to give and how we're going to give it, what are we going to offer up to God? Well, I'll see what change I have left. I'll see what time I have left to give God. I'll see what I can scrape up today. And whatever happens to be left over, that's what we give to God. But that's not what God has in mind. And really, that shouldn't be what we have in mind either. Because our giving requires sacrifice. I'm not saying make sure you hurt every time you put money in the collection plate. I'm not saying make sure you hurt every time you decide to do a good deed. That's not the point. The point is, we ought to put God first. We're showing God honor and love and respect and trust and showing gratitude for what God has given us and what God has done for us. And so we have Him first on our minds. And so when we decide to do something and give something to God, we do it joyfully because we want to honor Him. And we want to show Him our gratitude. And we want to thank Him for all that He's done for us and given us. That's what it's really all about. And that's why this sacrifice idea is mixed in with it. It's not the idea of how much we hurt when we give, as much as that our heart is in it. And so we put Him first. We don't eat the cake and then give Him the leftovers. You see? That's the idea behind it. David got this concept earlier on. I don't have the scripture marked here and I don't remember the address, but when the plague was going through Israel and the plague was going to be stopped, David was told to make an altar on this mountain at the threshing floor of Arona. And Arona, the guy who owned this threshing floor, said, "Here, take the land, take the cows that I've got and take the wood from the oxen and offer up a sacrifice. I give it to you. It's going to stop the plague and it's going to honor God." And what does David say? He says, "I'm not going to offer up to God anything that costs me nothing. I'm paying for the land. I'm paying for the oxen. I'm paying for the wood. I will not offer God something that costs me nothing. It's not going to be a throwaway gift to God. I'm going to honor God with what I do. And I'm going to pay for it. It's going to be my gift to God." And isn't that the way we ought to be when we give to God, when we do things to God, for God? I want to give. It isn't the quantity as much as the heart that's behind it, isn't it? Jesus made that perfectly clear. He made it perfectly clear in the Gospels. With the widow's mite. How much did the widow put in? A couple of pennies, right? In our culture, it'd be a couple of pennies, right? You don't even waste the energy to bend over to pick pennies here. Just about. If you charge on an hourly basis, you'd be losing money if you were picking up pennies. But that's what she put in the collection plate. Nobody thought anything of it, but Jesus thought the world of it because that was all she had. It was given out of love. It was given sacrificially out of all that she had. And she was trusting in God that God would sustain her. She had been trusting in God all of this time that God would sustain her. And He would. And so there's a challenge to trust in God when we give sacrificially. Rusty mentioned about missing our meeting together the past couple of times because of the weather. It's true. We missed out. We did miss out. The sad part is sometimes we miss out when we don't have to miss out. The sad part is when sometimes we think in terms of, well, do I really want to go? Do I really want to go? If I choose to go on Sunday Bible class or Wednesday night or the men's class or some of these other things, well, then I'm going to miss this TV show, or I'm going to miss out on a little overtime. There's a sacrifice involved whenever you make a choice like that. Am I going to go to church this morning? Oh, this bed feels awfully good. There's a sacrifice, isn't there? I mean, isn't there a sacrifice in doing what's right for God? When you decide that, yes, I am going to get up. Yes, I am going to herd the kids through the bathroom one at a time. Yes, I am going to go through the effort of coming together so that I can honor God and I can sing His glory and I can share with His people. There's a sacrifice involved. But it's a good sacrifice, isn't it? And how many times have you ever gone to church or gone to a meeting or gone to a class when you really didn't feel like going, but after you finished going, you felt like $1 million? I said, boy, I'm really glad I got talked into going. I really felt bad that I really felt horrible, and I thought this was going to be a disaster, and then I came back saying, I'm glad I did. It happens all the time. That's because our giving has its own rewards, doesn't it? That's because you can't outgive God. Amen. And the act of giving, the act of practicing our faith and stretching ourselves to do what we know is right, will be blessed by God. And so our giving is an act of faith. We trust that what we're doing is worth it. A happy dad is priceless. And we believe that, you know? And you can't outgive God, really. I mean, think about it. And it was mentioned right here this morning, just before we passed the collection plate. Mike mentioned it. The illustration comes from C.S. Lewis. I don't know where he got it, but maybe he's an ingenious man, so he may have invented it himself. But the idea is very simple. If you help your 5-year-old boy pick out a Christmas present for his mom, and you give him a $5 bill and you show him where the presents that he could choose from are, and he goes and he picks something out and he brings it to the counter and he pays for it, nobody in his right mind is going to think that the parents are $5 to the richer because the little boy bought the present. Right? What happens when the gift is given? What is really being given? The father doesn't make a profit, does he? It's not like he has to pay another tax on the $5 income that comes through because his son gave him a present. It doesn't work that way. The real gift is the love and the time and the care and the effort that the child put in to get the present. And how is that any different from what we give to God? Doesn't He already own our very lives? Doesn't He own every dime that's in our bank account? Doesn't He own all of the talents that we have, all of the abilities that we had to earn the money in the first place? Isn't He responsible for enabling us to be able to work? How is it that I can go to work day after day without the health that He gave me? How can I keep my job without the talents that He gave me and you? Everything we have belongs to God, so are we giving Him a profit? No. Not really. We're not giving Him a profit when we give, but we're giving Him our love and we're demonstrating our faith. And by being willing to sacrifice, we make it all that much more meaningful to Him because He knows the love that went behind it. And that's the principle behind our giving. And our giving really stretches beyond the collection plate. Our giving even stretches beyond sending money separately to other charities or sending money separately to other missionaries or other projects that we believe God will be happy about. Our giving also has to do with things like our time and the service that we provide other people, the help that we give other people. Whether it's helping somebody who is laid up clean their walk off, clean the snow off their walk, or whether it's helping somebody who's broken down by the side of the road, or whether it's giving food to somebody you know who needs it, or encouragement to somebody who needs it. Giving also involves a sacrifice. It's also a matter of giving our behavior to God. I know we don't usually think of it that way, but isn't that true? When I get tempted and I say no to the temptation, in a way I'm giving a gift to God. In a way I'm just giving God what is His due anyway, right? He expects proper behavior from us, from everybody on this planet. And we don't usually give it to Him, not very often, but when we decide to. And especially as Christians, when we committed ourselves to keep making those decisions, when we face a temptation and we say no, there's a sacrifice involved, isn't it? I mean, usually when we're tempted to sin, it's because the sin happens to be fun at the moment. We don't sin because sin hurts. We sin because it happens to be fun at the moment. It hurts later. Satan can't tempt us to hit our heads with a hammer. Hey Jack, why didn't you hit your head with a hammer? I'm sorry, that won't work. But he can set a trap where I end up getting hit in the head with a hammer. But the bait isn't going to be hitting my head with the hammer. The bait is something else. So I sacrifice the pleasure of the moment, knowing what God really wants me to do. And so I give my behavior to God, don't I? Isn't that also a gift? On a daily basis, I give my behavior to God. I can give my money to God. I can give my time to God. I can give my everything to God. Romans chapter 12. I've quoted it many times before. I'll do it again. There are two passages here I'd like to look at. Romans 12, starting verse 1, especially verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. He's presenting our whole being as a continual worship service. We are the sacrifice. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. We're doing the presenting, which means we're the priests. We're the ones who take the sacrifice and put the sacrifice on the altar. But what's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is us. And where is the temple? Well, we're the temple too. We're the temple of God, God's Spirit. Our lives are a walking, as Christians, our lives are a walking worship service. And we sacrifice ourselves to God on a daily basis. When we do a good job rather than a shoddy job for the glory of Christ, we're making a sacrifice for God. And we're putting a smile on God's face. When we're an honest employee instead of a cheating employee, we're putting a smile on God's face. When we're being generous to our co-workers and kind to our co-workers, when we're helping people throughout our day that ordinarily we wouldn't think twice about helping, but we do it because God is motivating us and we're offering ourselves to God, we're putting a smile on God's face. This is what this word acceptable is about. Acceptable. Well-pleasing is probably a nicer translation, but really it gets the idea of something that puts a smile on your face. You ever have one of those times when you just go, ah, that is great? That's what he's talking about when he's talking about an acceptable sacrifice. He's not saying, oh, well, I'm not unpleased. I won't squash you. God isn't saying that. What he's saying is, when we offer ourselves up to him this way, He goes, ah, all right. I got the whole cake. You see? I got the whole cake. And so he's got a smile on his face. And that's what it's about. Giving ourselves to God, pleasing God, because really when it all boils down to it, that's all we've got to give. Really. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 9. And this sounds like a hard, you know, a difficult thing. And I'm getting to the second point, and it'll be a quick point. The idea that the sacrifice is worth it. But this is daunting. I mean, the sacrifice part of it sounds daunting in this passage. In Luke 9, starting verse 23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world or loses or forfeits himself? Jesus is saying we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. We sacrifice ourselves. That's what I've been talking about all along here, really. I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to give my actions to God. I'm going to give my money to God. Some of it goes in the plate. A lot of it goes other places, but I'm going to honor him with it no matter what I use it for. That's part of my gift to God because I am giving myself to God. So here it is. Here's the sacrifice. But notice, what do we gain when we sacrifice our lives to God? Eternal life, right? We don't lose ourselves. We gain eternal life. And how much is eternal life worth? Would you trade everything in the world for your soul? Some people might. Some people would have a cheaper price, but why should we? I mean, eternal life, you can't beat that. And that's what we study the parables on Sunday mornings. And that's what the parable of the pearl of great price is all about. That's what the parable of the hidden treasure is all about. Here's somebody with the hidden treasure. Here's somebody comes along and he discovers here's this field that's got treasure buried in it. And the owner doesn't know anything about it. I'm going to buy that land. And I'm going to dig up the treasure and the treasure will be mine because I bought the land. If the land is mine, I get the treasure, right? Well, you know, I mean, isn't that the kind of thing person to do, right? There's this huge treasure. It's right in there. You know, maybe it's an old pirate treasure nobody knows about. But I know where it is. And there's that land. And so how much do you pay for that land? Well, I'll sell everything I've got, but I've got to get that land. Why? Because there's a treasure on it. But you're selling everything you've got. Everything. Doesn't matter. The treasure's worth more. Right? That's the point. Discovering the kingdom of God is like discovering that treasure and understanding that it's worth more than everything else. It's like the pearl merchant or the jewels merchant who discovers this one pearl of great price and he understands that that pearl is worth more than anything else he has in his collection. Everything else that he has in stock. He'll sell his whole business just to get that one pearl because he knows it's worth it. And when we recognize how much God has given us in Christ, what our eternal life in Christ is worth, then it gets real easy, you see, to give it all to God. Just like it was real easy for the guy to sell everything he has to buy that plot of land. Or for the pearl, the pearl merchant to sell all of his stock to buy that one pearl because we realize the value of it. We realize the value that our relationship to our Father has. And we want that more than everything else in the whole world. And so, yes, It does involve sacrifice. It does involve self-control. It does involve saying no to some things that we like. It does involve saying no to buying some things that we might want to buy. It might involve saying no to doing some things we'd like to do. It might involve giving time, using our time in a different way. But our giving, even though it involves sacrifice, is worth every bit of it. And so it's my encouragement to all of us, and I'm preaching to myself as well as to you guys. Remember, let's not give God the crumbs. Let's give Him the whole cake. Okay? He'll share the cake with us, but let's give Him the cake first, shall we? And let's have that attitude toward our giving. Not, oh, I'm going to sacrifice, but we get to give because we've been given so much. If you have any requests, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, if you want the prayers of the saints, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.